O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul,
last time that song was sung here at this church was at my dad's funeral. What a great, great song. Thank you. But even more, how great thou art. We got a great God. We've got a sovereign God that loves us. If you turn your Bibles this morning to John. Is Katie Clement in here this morning? When you see Katie Clement, wish her a happy birthday. If you would turn your Bibles to John chapter 20. Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that God was manifest in the flesh. God Himself, you know, when I was a kid, you think, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. And as cynical as I was, I thought, oh, He sent somebody else to do His dirty work. And then you find out that God Himself was manifest in the flesh, and He took our sins upon Himself. And God took the form of a man. And God had the same hands like we do. Four fingers and a thumb and a palm. A front hand, a back hand. He had the same hands we do. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, and Jesus Christ had the same hands that we do. The same bones, the same muscles. Same arches, there's three arches in a hand. His hands were rugged, dirty, probably dirt under his fingernails. Probably didn't have bag balm to help with cracks on the front of his thumbs, but lived with them, and every morning woke up and they opened up and bled. Sunburned hands, windburned hands, marred. Human hands, but beautiful hands of our Lord Jesus Christ nonetheless. Amen. John chapter 20, verse 24. After the crucifixion, they said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rend it. Whoop, I'm in John chapter 19. John chapter 20, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, behold my hands. Behold my hands. That's the title of the message this morning. He says to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you so much for gathering us here. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Jesus, for loving us and dying for us. We pray, Lord, that this message be a blessing. We not take for granted what you've done for us on the cross. That we can better serve you, Lord. Better appreciate you. And better love you. Thank you, Jesus. And we ask these things and we praise your holy name. Amen. Jesus says, behold my hands. And when Thomas sees the hands of Jesus Christ, the hands of his Savior, the hands of the man who led them around the Judean province and throughout Israel for 3 or 4 years, he beholds the hands of Jesus. And he sees the once beautiful hands of Jesus now marred beyond description. torn forever because of our sin. That's the hands that Thomas sees in John chapter 20. Marred, scarred, hands torn. And he falls on his knees and he says, "My Lord and my God." We see in Matthew chapter 8, if you turn this morning, Matthew chapter 8, when Jesus says, "Behold my hands," Thomas sees himself with disciples. Coming down from the mountain, this is just after the Sermon on the Mount, and he looks back to a time when him and the disciples were coming down with Jesus off the mountain. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes follow, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Thomas sees these hands of Jesus, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." When they were coming down off the mountain, you can imagine them, you know, walking along and reminiscing about the weather maybe and the beautiful olive trees. And isn't this a nice sight? And boy, you got $1 million view here, whatever, because they're looking down. All of a sudden, they see people scurrying and scattering, yelling, "Unclean! Unclean! Unclean!" And they see this band of people, shoo, just like cockroaches away from this man because he's a leper. Leprosy is a bacteria, much like that just escapes me. It doesn't matter. It's a mycobacterium. I got it written down up there. Doesn't matter. But leprosy is a bacteria, and it was very contagious. And people yelling, "Unclean, unclean." And Thomas, when he beheld Jesus' hands, he remembers back to that time when Jesus touched the leper and he was clean. Can we remember a time when we were with our sin? Leprosy is equated to sin a lot of times. It's not necessarily a disease, but we have it. Are we unclean? Absolutely. When we're in our sin, we're absolutely unclean and unworthy and unfit to enter heaven's doors. Then we become, maybe we hear the word of God, and all of a sudden we become aware of our sin. Imagine this leper started out with a little spot on his hand, maybe. And then the next morning he woke up and got bigger, a splotch on his hand. And going up his arm, and it kept growing and growing. And when we see our sin as God sees it, and all of a sudden we see this sickness of sin spreading and getting bigger and bigger, and then we try covering it up, just like the leper maybe covered up with a long sleeve and put a long turban on his head. Maybe didn't come out until night. And we try covering and hiding our sin. Tuberculosis is the name I was thinking of. It's related to leprosy. And we try covering up our sin, only it's exposed somewhere else where we least expect it. Then we become isolated. We don't want anybody to know I'm a sinner. We don't want anybody to know that I'm unclean. We become isolated. And we realize we're a sinner. Every one of us here who can name the name of Jesus Christ has come to a point in our life where we have seen ourselves as sinners. But yet we treat others. In Ephesians chapter, the beginning of chapter 2, Paul says, he lays out all these sins and he says, "As ye were." How many of us today name the name of Christ and yet we fail to realize we were once unclean? We see people in the shop, in the stores. We see people on the streets. We see people we meet and we're the first one to shout, "Unclean, unclean," and run away from them. Not realizing, hey, I was once unclean. And unworthy. And only through the touch of the hand of Jesus Christ, putting my faith in Him. Now He has made me clean, not me. He's the only one that can make us clean. And rather than shouting, unclean, unclean, maybe we could lend a helping hand. Maybe we could just send a prayer to heaven. Say, Lord, I don't know what's going on in that individual's life. I pray that you send someone, even if it's me. Lord, maybe there'll be an opportunity. I can at least hand them a tract. Instead of shouting, unclean, unclean, like we once were. And Thomas, when he says, I'm not going to believe that Jesus Christ is alive until I see his hands, and Jesus says, behold my hands, Thomas looks back to the time when he sees the healing hand, the touching hand of Jesus Christ coming down off the mountain, the cleansing hands of Christ. People need the cleansing hands of Jesus Christ, just like we do. Just like we did. We always do. It never ends. We need the cleansing hands of Jesus Christ. We have eternal life. We know heaven's our home. Oh my goodness, but how many times do we fall short? And sure enough, Jesus, He never fails. He is faithful. He is loyal. And He cleanses us. When Jesus says to Thomas, behold my hands, Thomas sees in Luke chapter 7, verse 11, sees the hands at work outside of a small town called Nain. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Then it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion. 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 That word is so important. On her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, or the coffin. What did he touch it with? With his hands. The life-giving hands of Jesus Christ. And they that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. The life-giving hands of Jesus Christ are the same hands that Thomas saw when Jesus said, behold my hands. He remembered the compassion of Christ. He remembered the touch of Jesus Christ. And how this man sat up and did not have a think so. I think I'm alive. I hope I'm alive. He said, I know I'm alive. I'm right here. And you're here this morning, and you don't know that heaven's your home. You can have that same assurance as the man who rose up outside of the bier by the life-giving hands of Jesus Christ. And you can know that heaven is your home. Why? Because the Bible says so. And God is a God that cannot lie. And every word that is written in the Bible will stand forever because it's the truth. Thy word is truth, John 17:17. And when the Bible says, for by grace you save through faith, and that not of yourself, you can take that to the bank. You can bank your life on it. When the Bible says that he who believeth in the Son hath everlasting life, you can not only bank your life on it, you can bank your death on it. And you can know that heaven is your home and look to the promises of God Almighty. It's not a feeling, it's not a hope, it's not a maybe, it's a no-so because the Bible says so. The life-giving hands of Jesus Christ are the hands that Thomas saw when Jesus says, behold my hands. And these life-giving hands of Jesus Christ are extending themselves right here this afternoon, this morning. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy, that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you tired? Are you tired of not knowing that heaven is your home? Are you tired of wondering what you're going to do with your sin? What are you going to do with this deep-seated filthiness, this void that can't be filled other than Jesus Christ. If you're tired, Jesus Christ says He'll give you rest. He says, come unto me by faith. The life-giving hands of Jesus Christ. When Jesus said, behold my hands, Thomas remembers and backs and sees the multiplying hands of Jesus Christ. Thomas remembers the crowd of thousands in a desert place and sees the hands that provided for them. With merely a couple fishes and a couple loaves of bread, Jesus Christ took the bread and broke it before the Father and provided meat, provided meals for thousands, for multitudes of people. Thomas saw the multiplying hands of Jesus Christ. The disciples said, have them depart. And Jesus says, they're not going to need to depart. Give them to eat. And Jesus wants you to eat this morning. The bread of life. The bread of the Word. He wants you to experience, He wants all of us to experience the multiplying hands of Jesus Christ. And these multiplying hands bless us over and over and over again. And we get blessed and we get blessed. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves way away from God. Why is that? We find in the Bible that God is so good to us. He fills us up. In Proverbs chapter 27 it says, the full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. God fills us up. And all of a sudden, we're not hungry anymore. God blesses us, and all of a sudden, God isn't as important as He used to be. God fills our cup, and all of a sudden, we're not thirsty for the Word of God anymore. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 106, then believeth they His words and sang His praise, speaking of Israel. He led them out of the promise, out of the Egypt into the promised land, and they soon forgot His works and waited not for His counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. And finally it says, and He gave them their request, but sent leanness to their soul. We've experienced the moment we're saved. We've experienced the cleansing hands of Christ, the life-giving hands of Christ, and the multiplying hands of Christ. And then we put God on the back burner because not only did our soul was full because He blessed us and we're unthankful, but we forgot His works. Have we forgotten this morning what God's done for us? Is that why we're not faithful like we should be? Is that why we're not serving Him like He wants us to serve Him? Is that why we're not being the stewards that He requires in a faithful steward? Because we're full and we forgot Him. God loves us. Amen. And He wants to see our life fulfilled. And He continues to bless us. Is it too much to say thank you? Or have we forgotten just the basic manners? Please and thank you. Are we thankful enough to God this morning to do as we're told? Are we thankful enough to God this morning to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Are we thankful enough to give Him His due? Or have we forgotten Him? When Jesus says, behold my hands to Thomas. Thomas is taken outside of Jerusalem just days ago. Just days ago after the Lord's table. And they're in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he remembers these same hands that he's beholding. He remembers these same hands that were bound before our Lord was led to a series of kangaroo courts. He sees these hands then clinging to a hewn beam of wood full of slivers after our Savior was flogged, after a crown of thorns was put on His head, after He was whipped, after He was beaten beyond recognition, he sees these hands. He sees these hands that may were clinging to the dirt as our Lord stumbled and fell with a heavy burden on the cross on the way up to Calvary. He sees these hands. And then from a distance, Thomas beholds these same hands that he saw on Calvary outstretched. He sees the outstretched hands of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ on the cross. Romans chapter 8, verse 3 says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh." The likeness. Our Lord never sinned. That's why He was able to pay for our sin, to redeem us from our sin. And for sin, it says, condemned sin in the flesh. Thomas sees the outstretched hands of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that as far as east is from the west, I'll remove your sin. There's a song that goes, how far is the east from the west? As far as the outstretched hands of Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for the world. Dying on the cross, a cruel, bloody, excruciating, painful death for your sin. When was the last time we saw the outstretched hands of Jesus Christ? When was the last time we thought, wow, God died for me and took it personal? When was the last time we thanked Jesus Christ for taking our sins, for bearing our sins on the cross, and requiring nothing but faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ? When was the last time we beheld the hands of Jesus Christ and simply cried unto Him, "Thank you. Thank you, Jesus." The punishing hands of Jesus Christ, these same outstretched hands, these same hands of healing, the cleansing hands, the life-giving hands, are going to be punishing hands. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 25, "Because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." These are people of God. "Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against His people, and He has stretched forth His hand against them." If we're here this morning and we've not obeyed God, if we've left our first love and we're doing our own thing and fulfilling what I want instead of what He wants, once again, God loves us so much, He'll chastise us. He knows what our better interests are. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." I'm thankful I had a dad that loved me enough. He never said it, but He loved us kids enough that He took the time and the energy to chastise us because He did not want us to mar the name that He gave to us. And that's what He told us. "You're representing Me, and I'll not have any of it." And He chastised us. And we love to see the outstretched hands of grace. We love to see the outstretched hands of mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. We love to see the outstretched, the healing hands of compassion and love of Christ. But we do not want to even think about the outstretched hand of chastisement. We need to ask ourselves this morning, do I deserve to be punished? Do I deserve to be chastised? Have I obeyed my Master? Have I obeyed my Father? Do I do all things pleasing unto Him? Am I faithful? Do I care about my testimony this morning? Do I mind if I put a black eye on my Lord and Savior? Do I even care? I don't want to see the outstretched hand of punishment. Amen. The engraved hands, Isaiah chapter 49, verse 14 through 16, talks about Israel. and how his name, Israel's name, is engraved on the hands of God. Isn't it nice to know that eternal life's eternal? That everlasting's forever? The guy doing the pictures for the Life Touch for our directory, great guy. He says one of his greatest things he likes about his job, I've mentioned this before, is he gets to witness to pastors and leaders of churches. And he's now, he was raised in a Baptist church in Libby, and he's now in Spokane, and they've started a church, and they work with the drug addicts and the homeless in downtown Spokane. And they have a ministry for the prostitutes in downtown Spokane. And so he emailed me the other day asking how our sheet was filling out. And so I emailed him back and it didn't go through. So I called him. I didn't want to leave him hanging. And he said, "Hey, boy, I'm glad you called." And I says, "Oh yeah? Could we spent a couple hours here. This is about a month ago. We just hit it off." He says, "Well, my wife totaled the car yesterday. It was her fault. And she totaled the car because she was preoccupied." He said, "I got cancer. I'm going in for surgery Tuesday. My mother died young of cancer. She was pronounced with cancer when she was 40 years old. She died at 49. He said, "I'm 40. It doesn't look very good," he says. He says, "My mom was saved, and she said she was thankful for her cancer because she wanted to be a testimony to those around her how she responded to it. And many people came to know the Lord because of the way she handled it." And he asked us as a church if we'd pray for him. His name is Jesse. He asked for us to pray for him so that he could be a testimony to those around him. He said, "I want to be a light." Being a Christian, being a believer in Jesus Christ, does not make us immune to tragedy. But I'm so glad that our names are engraved in the hands of Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Forever. I am His, He is mine, and praise God, His banner over me is love. Amen. The hands of Jesus Christ. We're going to have an invitation. Then he saith to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, and reach hither." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas," this is for us, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed." Do we really believe this morning? I mean, do we really believe? Do we really believe in the cleansing hands of Christ, the life-giving, the multiplying hands of Christ, the outstretched hands of Jesus Christ? If you're here this morning and you've not trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, won't you come this morning and trust the life-giving hands of Jesus Christ? He promises He'll give you eternal life. He promises He'll cleanse you from sin if you'll just come to Him by faith. Amen. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved or delivered from sin." What about those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior? When we get to heaven and Jesus Christ says, "Behold my hands." If He was here today and He said to each and every one of us, "Behold my hands," would we ignore His hands? Would we scoff at the scars, at the nail-torn hands? Would we refuse to even look at His hands? Have we forgotten His hands this morning? Or if Jesus said, "Behold my hands," would we be driven to our knees and say to Jesus Christ, "My Lord and my God"? Let's stand this morning and pray, and then we'll have a song of invitation. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we ask you to be with us. Help us, Lord, to be the people you want us to be, the people we need to be, the people we should be. I pray if there's someone here who even has a question, a tiny question, of whether they're going to go to heaven or not, I pray they come this morning. For those of us who know Christ, I pray we come and at the very least say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We ask these things and we praise your holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Page 403 this morning. Quick, our business meeting is tonight, and please, if at all possible, be here tonight. We do need a quorum, and we'll discuss missions, and we'll get that taken care of, and we'll have a good night. So please, please try to be here. Brother Bill Nelson Jr., would you close us in prayer, please?
Love us in spite of our